This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 286. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, my brother Matt and I examine just how good Wisconsin might be in 2017, and what chance BYU has to pull the upset in Provo. We also answer a host of your tweet bag questions, including questions about breakout players, neutral site games, and whether the running backs will be a part of the passing game. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this show and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcasts. Join the conversation on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to Matt and I talk right now. Matt, welcome back to the show. We had a week off and now we're back.
Yeah, we're all rested and ready to go.
Yeah, so Matt, we are basically just filled with tweet bag questions today.
The tweet bag runneth over.
This may be a record tweet bag week. I do not quantify such things, so I can't say this for certain. But we just got to jump into the tweet bag, climb on in the tweet bag.
See, I'd invite everybody to climb on in, but she's full.
She's full. There's no room in the tweet bag.
Yeah, there's no room in there. Everybody's already. Yeah, the seats are all taken.
All right, Matt. So let's do it and jump in. Who better to start off the tweet bag than Justin Sweeney?
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney. He calls us slackers for taking a week off,
Matt. Of course
he
does.
It's July. There's literally nothing going on. Hashtag priorities. Hashtag stop watching baseball. Emoji little wink guy.
What I think is interesting is that Sweeney here is basically saying that he believes we chose not to record last week so that we could watch baseball. That's basically
true.
What he's saying here.
Not true. I mean, we're missing the All-Star game to record this podcast, which I don't watch the All-Star game anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the All-Star game is kind of meh. Of course, I will just note that it's basically like watching a Nationals game at this point. But
oh, my gosh, stop it. You're ridiculous. Well, Matt, it's not on the agenda, but Sweeney did send this out as well. In honor of the summer, top three vacation spots you've actually been to, I'm just going to say we each pick one. Your favorite vacation spot.
Does it count if I actually went there for work?
Sure. We're making up the rules.
All right, we're just making them up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say, and mine, I did it for work, Hawaii.
I was going to say Hawaii.
You can pick Hawaii, too.
Oh, it's Hawaii. It's definitely Hawaii. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Hawaii's the best. My second one would actually be the Black Hills of South Dakota. I love the Black Hills. They're great.
Oh, that's like Mount Rushmore. Is that near
there? Yeah, Badlands. It's beautiful. I love that place. I've been there a couple times now, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Well, Matt, our record tweet bagger today is going to be Jed Higginson. He tweet bagged. Can we make it a verb?
That's weird.
He tweet bagged like 10 times. So, Jed, we are not doing all of your questions today because, quite frankly, it would be the entire show. But we're doing most of them.
But Jed, this isn't because we don't love you, all right? Don't take this personally.
No, it's definitely not personal.
It's just business.
It's just business. Lord, business. all right. So at Jed Higgy says, suggestions on how to successfully navigate the summer months without football and basketball. Don't say baseball. What is with the hating on baseball, guys?
Hey, wait a minute. That's like saying, hey, suggestions on putting together a really sweet breakfast and don't say bacon.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's essentially what he's saying here. I mean, well, how are you supposed to navigate the summer months without football and basketball, without baseball?
So, Matt,
you don't want to hear my other answers. They're not better.
Here's the segue. Movies. Summer movies. And Jared Roundsville, at J. Roundsville,
Roundsville.
Twitter says, thoughts on Spider-Man, and Jed also asked how many stars I would give it. Matt, I have seen Spider-Man. You have not.
I have not seen Spider-Man.
Five stars!
All of the stars.
All of the stars. Take them. It was amazing. It was a great movie.
Did you know that the actor who plays Spider-Man, they sent him for 2 days undercover at the with the Bronx High School for Science or whatever it is?
Queens, but yes.
whatever. No, at the real school.
Yes.
Isn't the real school in, it is Queens?
I think wherever it's in Queens. Well, he's from Queens.
I thought that the actual school was.
It might be
in the Bronx, but anyway. But I guess Jon Favreau went there and a bunch of other really famous people. But they sent him undercover for a couple days and had him pretend that he was like a new student, so that he could see what American high schools were like, because he had no clue.
Yeah, he's British, London, from London, as a matter of fact. And his funny part about it is his accent, his Queen's accent, I think is pretty decent. So he does a good job. He does a good job. So it's definitely worth seeing. I am also very excited about War for the Planet of the Apes, which is coming out on Friday.
That does look good. I've not seen any of those movies.
What?
What?
They are, the first two are phenomenal movies. Go see them. Go rent them now, Matt. Now.
Oh, it's pretty late for me to start a movie, but.
Movie marathon. Watch them back to back tonight.
You go to work in the morning.
Forget work.
That seems like sound advice.
So, Matt, last week we were together in the same spot, and our brother Don, who is also there, is calling you out. Here's what he has
to ridiculous.
Say. Matt has been spotted in a purple hat. Don, you can just say, I saw him in a purple hat. You don't have to say he's been spotted.
Why doesn't he just say, I saw Matt wearing an LSU hat?
Yes.
There's a lot of things that can be purple.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. It could be a jazz
Let's
hat.
Just say what it is. I was wearing an LSU hat.
So he asks, have you gone native? Will you be cheering for the Tigers? Matt, are you going to be cheering for the LSU Tigers against the BYU Cougars?
That's just insane. That's just insane. Are we really even talking about this? I bought the hat on sale for $2, and I wore it to the beach because it only cost me $2.
Yes.
And when I go to LSU baseball games, and in this fall, when I go to LSU games in Death Valley,
I'll
probably wear the
BYU.
LSU hat. Yeah. Not, that one's not in Death Valley. But if BYU were to come here, I'm clearly not going to wear LSU gear. My allegiance to LSU is not very deep.
No, it's quite shallow.
But we've talked about this several times. I am a fan of cheering for the local team. We've moved around a lot, and LSU is the local team where I live right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm getting into it a little bit. I'm going to have some fun with it. But not at the expense of the
Tigers!
Not at the expense of the Cougars.
Not at the expense of Cougars. Well, speaking of Cougars,
Matt. Let's not get weird.
Yeah, let's not get weird. Well, we've already gotten weird, but not any weirder. Matt, it's time for the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, we talked about the Director's Cup a few weeks ago. BYU ended up finishing 31st, which is, you know, they were 30th last year, 31st, top non-P5 school. BYU is awesome. That's all.
BYU is awesome.
Matt, Michael Davis, former BYU cornerback, rookie free agent, is impressing in Chargers camp and has been practicing with the number ones.
That's pretty crazy, isn't
okay?
it?
But I learned two things about Michael Davis that I did not know in this article at Bolts from the Blue, which is the SB Nation Chargers site, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One thing, fun fact, Davis is half black and half Mexican, according to this article. I did not know that about his heritage, so that's an interesting fun fact. But here's the really thing this is from Davis, okay? Coming off my junior year, I had a good season, but then my senior year, we had a new coaching staff, and I felt I had earned my place. I wasn't as productive as I should have been. I wasn't in my film as much as my first 3 years, and I went away from my press fundamentals. That wasn't who I should have been. As a senior on the team, I should have been a leader. I wasn't showing those skills on the field. So after our game against Mississippi State, my coach and I had a talk, and he benched me the rest of the season. Remember, we talked about on the show, where the heck did Michael Davis go? That's where he went.
Wow.
And does he blame the coaching staff?
Nope. Doesn't sound like it.
Who is he blaming?
He is taking accountability for for his attitude there.
Listen, they quote vanquished the foe as saying before his senior year that he was a camp invite at best. I think no disrespect to vanquish the foe. I thought he was going to get drafted after his junior year. I thought his tape that junior year was that good. I thought he may be the best press cornerback I've ever watched at BYU. And then he dropped off the freaking planet last year. And now we get an understanding of why. Matt, does this surprise you? Does this help explain what happened to him in his senior season?
It absolutely helps to explain what happened to him in senior season. And it does surprise me that it would come to that, right? Because it sounds to me like at some point during the season, he figured out where he had gone wrong, but he wasn't able to turn it around. It sounds like he's turning it around now.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me put it this way. I'm going to make a bold prediction, Matt.
Bold prediction.
10-year NFL career.
Wow.
I think he starts for an NFL team for multiple seasons. 4.34 speed, good press coverage, big, 6'2", nearly 200 pounds. He is, if he can put it together, he is an NFL cornerback. That's my bold prediction, man. Too bold? Too crazy?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, we've talked about this. There's every couple of years, there's a guy like this that'll surprise you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Matt, let's talk about men's basketball here a couple bit. Couple bit? I don't even know what that means.
Couple bit? That's not a thing.
For a couple bit?
That's not even a thing.
Deseret News and everybody else reported that the BYU basketball program added two more guards, as if we needed more guards.
You can never have too many guards, I guess.
Ka'Jun Brown is a transfer from Lee College in Baytown, Texas. He got the last scholarship. And then the other one is McKay Cannon. He is a transfer from Weber State, played his first couple of years at Weber State, and he will be a walk-on. Matt, I don't know that either of these guys make any significant impact, but, I mean, Brown is a 6'5 JC transfer who seems to have a decent, had a decent junior college career, but I don't know if either of these guys end up making a big impact.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be more interested if somebody felt like either of these guards could guard. Oh, stop it.
Well, I mean, stop Brown it. Is 6'5", so he's a bigger wing guy, so that's something. That's something. I don't know what that means, but we'll see. Matt, probably bigger or more interesting news is the out-of-conference schedule was announced today. As a matter of fact, here's who's on the docket. Okay, MVSU. I don't even know who that is. Who is that?
Isn't that Mississippi Valley State?
Mississippi Valley State. There you go. Princeton, UT Arlington. Those two teams are familiar. Niagara, Alabama, and UMass, which we knew. Rematch against UVU, Utah State, Illinois State, Weber State, and here was kind of the surprise, Matt. Utah. Is that going to be a safe game?
Is this a real thing?
Think of the children.
Is this going to really happen?
I don't know. It apparently will. Apparently Voldemort, he who shall not be named, has decided that his players don't need to be safe anymore.
Well, does that mean he just like wasted that money that they spent on canceling?
That's a very good question.
If they're just gonna give up on that stance a couple years later,
yeah, absolutely. He is. He's apparently a bigger coward than we thought. He can't even stick with what he said.
It's even worse. He's a, oh man.
Yeah, it's
it
fantastic.
Got worse.
It's fantastic. I love that we're playing them again, and I love the fact that it's going to be in the Marriott Center, and he is going to get taunted mercilessly. And I'm not usually a big taunting coaches or players guy. I know that's a big thing in college basketball. And a lot of people enjoy it. I never sat at games and thought that's why I want to be here. Right. Oh man. If I were in the stands, I would just be ribbing that guy the entire 2 hours.
It's going to be insane.
Hopefully people stay at least somewhat civil. I'm telling you what, I think everyone should dress up as Voldemort. Of course, it's only us on this podcast that talk about him as he who shall not be named, but whatever. So Matt,
I like the revenge game at UVU.
Oh man, we better crush them. Now this, by the way, this is not a great out of conference schedule. It's okay, but it's not great, which may not matter, but leads to our next question, Matt, from Jed. He's making another appearance.
Look at him.
Percent chance men's basketball makes the NCAA tournament next season.
Percent chance they make the NCAA tournament next season.
10%?
10-15. Listen, Jed, it's not good.
It's not good, but it's not zero.
Statistically speaking, no, it is not. Like, from a very technical standpoint, it's not zero.
I mean, this team is not going to be terrible. But I don't think they're likely to make the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly think their best chance is winning the conference tournament. And I don't think Gonzaga is going to be nearly as good as they were last year, so there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
That's right, I am. So, well, we're done with basketball.
One in a million.
Yeah. What was with that one in a million thing? Matt, let's talk football for the rest of the show.
Yes,
all
let's
we're
do
talking
that.
Is football. This is how you fill your time during the summer, Jed Higginson. You fill it with the Rise and Shout podcast.
Yeah, I'm talking about football.
By the way, if you want to join Jed, Justin, and the others who have climbed on in the tweet bag with us, that just sounds so bad.
It's not with us. But it's not with us. I'm not in the tweet bag. I'm not in there. I didn't send in a question.
I think you are in the tweet
climb,
bag.
Don't climb into the tweet bag with us. A, that sounds weird. B, it's just not correct. Well, I'm not in there. Every once in a while, you dig your hands in there and you pull out some questions.
Oh, my gosh. Just stop. Just stop talking. This just gets weirder.
Climb on in. Climb on in. Adam, why don't you go ahead and finish telling everybody how they can climb on into the tweet bag.
Questions. So you can send them via Twitter. We're at BYU_RiseShout. Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And old-fashioned email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, Andre Hutchins, a longtime tweet bagger, that's at AC_Hutchins, says, can I count on seeing you gentlemen in Houston, sorry, I don't usually say the H, for the LSU game and some post-game celebratory Torchies tacos. Matt, you will be there. I will not.
I will be there, but might I remind Andre that the game kicks off at like 8 or 8:30.
There will be no celebratory Torchies.
Torchies will be closed. So if you want post-game Torchies, if that's something that you're comfortable doing on Sunday, we can talk about it. But I'm much more likely to hit a Torchies tacos lunch on Saturday.
Wow. Wow, Matt, this is a podcast first, Matt, encouraging a breaking of the Sabbath. Okay.
Didn't encourage it. Didn't encourage it for the record.
If you want to do that.
I just said if that's something you're comfortable doing, I think they're open.
I think
it's not like Chick-fil-A.
You just got a PG-13 rating for this podcast with
listen, that's not even close to the worst thing I've said on the podcast. That's not the worst thing I've said on the podcast about Torchy's Tacos.
No, it's actually not. Matt, I have now been to Torchy's Tacos twice. We went on our way back up through Houston. My wife got to go the first time as well. It's delicious.
Yeah, what did you get?
I got the I can't remember.
Did you do the Trailer Park Trashy?
Yes, Trailer Park Trashy. That's what I did.
So good.
And
so good.
You can get it Britney Spears style.
Oh.
So.
The other one to try there, if those of you who are interested, is the Ace of Spades. It's off menu, so it's a little pretentious, but it's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about my feeling about off menu stuff. I think it's very pretentious.
But it's a thing. It's a thing there. It's like a thing.
Yeah, I get that it's a thing. It's still a pretentious thing, just like In-N-Out. Oh, we got a secret club. You have to know the secret password.
But it's not a secret club anymore. Everybody knows that if you're at In-N-Out and you don't say animal style, you're wasting your time.
All right, so Jed's follow-up on that, Matt, is thoughts on a game day experience when attending BYU game at opponent's home field versus a neutral site, i.e. LSU and Houston. We went to the Missouri game at Arrowhead. And I have to say, I think I prefer on-campus experiences.
Yeah, so if I compare it to the last few years, right? So we saw Missouri at Arrowhead. We saw West Virginia at FedEx.
Yep.
Okay. But at the same time, you compare that to Wisconsin.
Yes.
And Notre Dame.
Yes.
But the game day environments at places like Wisconsin, Notre Dame are going to be pretty hard to beat anyway. I think a fair comparison would be if you could attend an away game at Missouri, and then also go see Missouri at a neutral site. That's where I think you're going to really get a good comparison. So this is what I'll say, is I don't think that the game day experience that we're going to have as BYU fans at the LSU game at NRG in Houston will be even remotely close to the experience we would have if we played that game in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and the NFL stadiums are kind of cool, right? You know, we liked going to Arrowhead. I'd never been to that stadium, and it was kind of cool.
Kansas City turned out to be a cool town.
Yeah, Kansas City's a really cool town. There was good tailgating going on outside. We met some nice Missouri fans who offered to get us drunk. You know, so there was.
They invited us to imbibe.
They invited us to imbibe, but I'll
for
tell
the
you
record,
what
we declined.
The Notre Dame experience was phenomenal. I've done that twice. The Wisconsin experience was awesome. Yep. You know, so there's some good stuff there that, you know, but I'm fine. That being said, we've done our last two trips to neutral sites.
You don't want to play LSU here.
Yeah, you do. You want that experience though, right?
Yeah, but maybe you do, right? I guess you do and you don't. But at the same time, you get that LSU game because you're willing to play at that neutral site.
Right, right, right.
That's the only reason this game exists.
Yep, 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 right. No, for sure, for sure. So, Matt, let's talk actual football stuff, okay? Jeff Johnston, that's at JeffJBYU, asks, odds that BYU's offensive line will be good at pass protection this season. And then, inversely, he asks, odds BYU will be able to consistently pressure the opposing QB with the front four. Matt, today there was an article in the Deseret News talking about Satake growing the depth on in the trenches on both sides of the line. Matt, let's start with the offensive line. They were not great at pass protection in the last couple of seasons, much better at run. How are you feeling about them as a pass protection unit for the 2017 season?
I'm not sold until I see it. You know, I feel pretty good about Karoma.
Yeah, Karoma's great.
But, you know, until I see it in action, it's hard for me to get really excited about it or develop a real deep confidence in their ability to protect the quarterback a whole lot better than they did last year.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think, though, I am with you. Wait till we actually see it. But I actually think they're going to be good at it this year. That is my hot take. I think they'll be pretty good at it. So I'm not too worried. And I think the thing that will also change it is they know as a unit that it's not Taysom back there, and that changes. I think that changes how you block, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So. Anyway, we'll see. What about the defensive line? We were not able to get a lot of pressure last year on quarterbacks when there wasn't a blitz. Does that change this year?
You know, for whatever reason, I feel like I have a little bit more confidence in the defense's ability to to develop some of that in one off season. And I think that that Paul Edwards makes a good point in his Twitter response to Jeff's question, where he talks about, you know, if you got Taki Taki in there, then, you know, he's the type of player that makes a big difference. And yep, and sure. Tuiaki as a coach, I think he's got a history that gives me some comfort.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling much better, I think, in their second year in Tuiaki's system that they'll be able to generate some of that. I also think that as good as this linebacker core, I believe, is going to be, that that will create some opportunities for that offensive line, for the defensive line, as opposing offensive lines have to worry about, you know, oh, are we going to get blitzes up the middle or off the edge? So I'm feeling pretty good about that unit being able to do it. I don't think they're going to be like an Alabama front, right, where they're, you know, constantly wreaking havoc without blitzing. I don't think that's realistic, but I do think it will be better than it was last season.
Yeah.
So Matt, Gary Payne back in the tweet bag, that's at Fast Break GP. Is it too much to hope that Big Mo can have an immediate impact? 6'7", 410 pounds? Wow. Hashtag tweet bag. Hashtag pain bag. Matt, is that too much to hope for?
Yes. Yeah, yes, it is. Much. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, way too much. Here's how I'm going to break it down, Matt. Tell me if you agree. There's a 20% chance that Mo Longhi becomes a really, really good football player. Okay? There's a 20% chance that he becomes a significant contributor, but not in that, you know, really good group. Okay? There's a 20% chance he plays some, but never really makes much of an impact. And there's a 20% chance he never plays a down at BYU. Do you think
that last one's kind of sad, but it probably
he's true. Never played football. I mean, most when people go, well, you know, there was this guy Ziggy Ansah, he never played football. He didn't even know how to put his pads on. Yeah, there are way more stories about guys trying to do that who we never hear about than there are stories of guys going and becoming, you know, a high NFL draft pick and then a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, there's a reason that everybody loves the Ansa stories, because it's so rare.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's super rare.
To expect to get another one of those so quickly, I think is...
But again, he seems like he is a very, very good athlete, you know, for being at his size. So, again, like I said, I think there's a decent chance he becomes a decent player or better, you know, so... Not this season, though. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him at all this year. Matt, Jeff comes back into the tweet bag. He climbs back in to ask this question. He climbs back in. Pick a surprise breakout player on both sides. So, Matt, who's your surprise breakout player on defense?
You know what? I've got an interesting one on this. We'll go back and talk about the defensive line, and I waffled a little bit.
Because you're a waffler.
Well, and I waffled a little bit on who I would pick defensively, but I'm going with and I don't know if I'm saying his first name right, but Solomon Wolfgram.
Yes.
Defensive lineman.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think this is a guy who he played in all 13 games last year. Mostly was a special teams contributor. Made a couple of tackles. Nothing real fancy, but was a basketball player, transferred from BYU Hawaii. He was at 6'5", 285. I think he's got decent speed. I mean, decent size. And I think if you go back and you look at you know, where he was and some of the things he did on special teams, I think he showed some flashes that you would want out of a guy that you're trying to develop, which is what he's doing on special teams in the first place. So if I had to pick one defensively, that's probably where I land, but I had a pretty close second that we can talk about it if anybody's interested, but
no one's interested. I'm just kidding. We'll talk about it in a second. Mine is Isaiah Kaufusi. I know that might be kind of a sexy pick because of how well he played in the spring game, but that's a really good starting unit, and he's not going to be, barring some change in fall camp, not likely to be a starter. But somebody's going to get hurt at some point, right? That always happens every year in every unit. And I think Kaufusi can be a playmaker and come through. So I think he could have a breakout year as a freshman. And maybe also on special teams as well. Who is going to be your other guy? on defense.
So the other guy that I thought about listing there was Adam Pulsifer, linebacker.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
for some of the Pulsifer's same stuff you good. Listed,
yep.
I think that there's going to be some rotation through the linebacker group. I think a lot of those guys are going to get some chances to play. This is a guy who will be in his junior year, started two games last year, had 16 tackles, 8 tackles in the Toledo game. So, I mean, this guy, more so than Wolfgram, has shown some stuff on some, I don't mean to say it like this, but on plays that matter, has been able to contribute when he had a chance. So this is a guy that I think when some of those opportunities present themselves at the linebacker position due to injury or whatever else this year, I think this is a guy that's well poised to take advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Matt, on offense, who's your breakout candidate?
Offense is a little bit. I think is a little bit tricker.
Quinn Detmer.
Right. But what are you going to do here? Right. I mean, you go with an offensive lineman or a running back. Who am I kidding? The choice here is clear. It's Bushman.
Yeah. Right. Right. It's Bushman. But if you look at everybody's depth chart, he is the third tight end, Matt. I don't think he's the third tight end.
No, I
Baldery, think all three are going to play.
Yeah, I think that's true. They're all going to have a different role.
Yep.
But I think that Bushman is going to be the guy. If the term we're using here is somebody has kind of a breakout year, or you know, surprise breakout player is really what we're looking for, according to Jeff's question.
Yeah.
I think on offense, especially since everybody's kind of listing him as a 2 or 3. Guy at that tight end spot, I think it is Bushman.
Yeah,
unless you think that one of these running backs is going to turn into, you know, the guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick a running back. If I did pick a running back, I'd probably pick Tolotau. If I'm going to pick one of the running backs to be a breakout guy, so I wouldn't say that. But I'm just thinking, Matt, like. On the offensive line side, there are some potential breakout candidates, right, on that offensive line. I'm not going to pick one of them, but I think there's some guys there, Chandon Herring, Schoaf. I think there's a few guys there that could be breakout and may make the difference to that question before about whether we can pass protect. If one or two of these guys pop along with Karoma, then, you know, you could have, you know, especially Schoaf at left tackle. You could have something. But the player I would pick, and I love your pick of Bushman, is Akili Davis, wide receiver.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
And nothing against Treneman or Shumway or anybody else that's in that group of wide receivers. With his speed and such, I think there's a very good chance, you know, and 6'2", so he's a little bit, he's not a small guy either. I think there's a chance that he could become a significant contributor quickly in the deep passing game. So, that's...
We should write these down and come back to him later.
Nah. That seems like too much effort.
Yeah, are you writing him down? A lot of work. You're going to write, well, am I writing them down? Are you kidding me?
No, you're not writing them down. So Matt, Chris Murphy, that's at C Murphy Pro on Twitter, asks, do you think BYU will get receiving production from the running backs using screen passes and other routes from the backfield? Hashtag tweet back. Matt, we have not seen in years now much receiving production out of running backs. Do you think that changes in the 2017?
I actually do.
What is your evidence, sir?
Well, I think that we all kind of feel like we're going to see a lot of different guys in the backfield.
Yes.
And if you look at the guys I believe will work their way into that rotation, there's a couple guys in there that I think you could use on some of those, even if it's just a check down. You know, or a safety valve for Mangum, you know, somebody to throw the ball out to. I think there's a couple of these guys that could do that well. El Bakri, I think, is one of those guys. I think Squally Canada might be able to do that. And Gino would be, I think, would be really interesting to see, even though he's kind of buried on the depth chart, is maybe do you throw the ball to Die out there on the edge?
That's a good question. Those are all excellent questions. Last year, in Ty Detmer's first year as offensive coordinator, the leading pass catcher, not a wide receiver, a tight end, was Jamal Williams with a whopping total of 7 catches. Okay,
that's a lot of catches.
I don't remember a single traditional running back screen last year. Do you? I don't. Maybe there was one, but I don't remember one.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that is just not something he did. I am hesitant to say that any running back will get more than 10 receptions, just based on what we saw of the offense last year. Now, that can change completely. Like you said, well, Williams was going to be on the field 80% of the snaps, and they had decided, for whatever reason, not to use him significantly in the passing game. With this running back by committee, they may change that entirely, right? Like, think about last year. Jamal Williams had 234 carries. The next running back, Squally Canada, had 74, right? We're not going to see a discrepancy like this year. Nobody in that group is going to get 200 carries, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, similar to you in the offensive line, I got to see it take a wait-and-see approach. I got to take that. So, oh, by the way, on our breakout player, Jeff did have his own picks, Fanua at running back and one of the freshman defensive linemen. He thinks he'll be the breakout players.
Fanua, huh?
Yeah.
I like it too.
Matt, we have been doing kind of an off-season preview of teams we're playing this year. And let's see, I wanted to pull up who we've already talked about. We have talked about a bunch of terrible teams that we didn't spend much time on. Hawaii, UMass, Portland, ECU, San Jose, UNLV, and Fresno. And then the last two episodes, we've talked about Boise and Mississippi State. Today, it's all about Wisconsin. So
here we go.
We're going to reference a little bit the preview on SB Nation by a friend of the podcast, Bill Connolly, who has been on the show a couple of times. We're going to talk about his take on them. But Matt, let me start with this, okay? According to the projections that they're using, okay, which come off of Football Outsiders, they are predicted to win every single one of their games.
Yikes.
The toughest game as of today is Michigan at home, where they have a projected margin of 1.3. Okay? They aren't even in a single other game predicted to be within a touchdown, according to these projections, which, you know, some of these teams are going to be worse or better than what the projections have. Matt, we could be playing against one of the teams that makes – how about this? We could play two of the teams that make the college football playoff, LSU being the other one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild? I guess if you lose to both of them, it's not so hot, but...
No, you're just a footnote.
Yeah, we're just a footnote. But Matt, are they this good?
I think they may be. Good. I mean...
Over the past 5 years, Matt, according to the S&P rankings on Football Outsiders, they, over the past 5 years, are the 13th best team in the country. I think people kind of sleep on Wisconsin. They have been good for a long time. Alabama good? No. But they're not too far. They're one tier below that.
Yeah, I mean, but is there? There's nobody else in that tier.
No, there probably isn't. There probably isn't. Yeah, that's... Well, I don't know. I put Clemson in that tier over the last 5 years.
Alabama tier?
Well, I mean, they're not as good as Alabama, but wouldn't Clemson be in their own tier?
Yeah, maybe.
So,
I don't know, but
it's pretty impressive the run that Wisconsin is putting together.
Can you imagine if Wisconsin got to their game against Michigan in November undefeated?
And imagine if Michigan is undefeated, which is not impossible.
Oh, that would just be insane.
And that's not even the Big Ten championship game. Right?
Right.
So
they're just defensively so good.
Defensively.
And their size is really what gets you, right? I mean, their defense, you may have already said this, has been in the S&P top 10 for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, which is not common. It's not common. And no, I did not say that. That's a great tidbit there, buddy.
And they're loaded with returning players on defense, you know?
Yes.
I think that if you're a BYU coming into this game, I think you have to be able to put together an offense that's at least serviceable. Your offense doesn't have to be great. It's got to be serviceable. Where you really need to be good is on your pass rush.
Yes.
And you need to be able to rush the quarterback, and you have to be able to slow down the run game, because that's where this team may be vulnerable.
And
a young quarterback and some questions around running the football.
Yep. And I think that's their biggest question mark is, last year this was an issue, and that's relatively speaking, was rushing, right? They were better last year than they were in 2015, but this is not the elite running game that they had 3 or 4 years ago. But that being said, even though they lost some folks on their offensive line, the seven players who are likely to play average 6'6", 321.
Those are big boys. Them are corn fed boys.
Yeah. Yes. And they've got, they're corn fed. Anyway, I think it's very likely at the end of the year, this is the best team we played all year.
Yeah. I think if you look at the list of teams on our schedule, I believe this team may have the best shot of getting into the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say that, in my opinion, right now, I think this team has the best shot at getting of everybody else that we've got.
I think so. They've got a favorable schedule. They only play one other elite team, and that's Michigan. But their schedule's not terrible, right? So they do play some good teams. But you look at that schedule and you say, their toughest road game of the entire year is probably in Provo. Right, and they don't face Ohio State. So, I mean, there's a good chance that whoever plays that game, that November 18th game against Michigan, I mean, there's obviously a geographic conference things here, but that could be, the biggest conference game of the year for the Big Ten. We'll see how it plays out. And if you look at Michigan, because we just talked about what if they both get there undefeated. Michigan has that Florida game to start the year, and assuming Michigan State's not good again, which I'm going to make that assumption, they don't have another really hard game until that game at Wisconsin. So if they beat Florida, they could run the table till that game.
So not only are we saying that on our schedule, this team is the most likely to make the playoff, we're saying that across the college football landscape, this team has just as good a chance as any of playing for a national championship.
I believe so. I think they've actually got a better chance than Alabama just because of Alabama's schedule. Right? I think Alabama's by far a better team than they are. So I'm not saying head-to-head. I'm just saying because Alabama might lose two games in the regular season and still be a better team. Right? So I don't know. The Big Ten is going to be very, very, very interesting, this year. And especially if Penn State, is good again. Right.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. But again, Penn State isn't on Wisconsin's schedule either. You know, they've got at Nebraska, at Indiana, you know, and of course for Michigan, the week after they play Wisconsin, they host Ohio State. So it'll be a big couple weeks for the Wolverines. Anyway, Matt, I think Wisconsin's great. And by the way, I think they beat us in Provo.
I think they probably do.
I think we can keep it competitive, and I think it will be competitive, but in the end, I think we lose that game. So, Matt, we've been doing this little thing called the time machine, where we go back and change things in BYU sports history. Today's time machine is going to be a little different, okay? The Lawless Republic wrote a story this week, earlier today, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday, where they're doing what they're calling the BYU football history book. And this one by Nathan Cunningham is about your favorite player in BYU history. I don't know if that's actually true, but I think it's true. Shea Mearbrook.
Yeah, I think it may be true.
I think it may be true. So, Matt, why is Shea Mearbrook so awesome?
Well, I'll say a couple of things. So, Shea Mearbrook was, first of all, a pretty key player on what may be the best BYU football team of all time. But at the same time, I feel like he was a little bit undersized, but he was crazy. And his ability to read offenses, and I don't know that I really love this phrase, but I'm going to use it anyway. And his nose for the football, I think set him apart.
You used it.
I know, but it set him apart from a lot of other players that we've seen. He's just a different breed of a linebacker. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's the best linebacker of all time at BYU, but he's a different breed of a linebacker, a rare breed, at least in our program, in my opinion. And, you know, you look at some of the stuff he did. I mean, the 1997 Cotton Bowl is one that everybody talks about. I mean, which was insane, right? But I think if you look back at performances in some other games that year in 96, I mean, he was a key piece of that defense. He knew where the ball was going to be, and he was going to get there and make a play. WAC defensive player of the year as a senior,
which by the way, he should have won it in 94 as well as a sophomore. Right, he was the best defensive player in the conference in 94, and he didn't get it, but he should have.
Yep.
He was awesome. Matt,
well, just his attitude was just, and for me, I know at that time, this is when I was in high school and playing linebacker, and I modeled a lot about, you know, how I approached things based on what I at least perceived from watching him play.
6 sacks in the Cotton Bowl, Matt, still a Cotton Bowl record.
That's insane in any game.
Six sacks. It's 103 tackles. 6 sacks and 4 forced fumbles as a sophomore. And Matt, he was a starter for 3 years, a captain for 2, played meaningfully as a freshman in 93, had 61 tackles. Pre-Kyle Van Noy, there were really, to me, the BYU linebacker wall of teams I actually watched, okay? So you got to take the early mid-80s teams out because I was too young to have really watched these teams. There's 2 linebackers pre-Kyle Van Noy that, to me, and now it's Van Noy, so now you've got the 3 that all other BYU linebackers are judged against. And Shea Mearbrook is one of those 3 to me. I don't think, you know, he was an amazing player.
And there were some, and we've had some really good linebackers, especially if you go back, you know, before Mearbrook, right? But we've had some really good linebackers come through the program. But it was just a little bit of a different. I guess I've already said this, but a little bit of a different breed. Not the biggest, maybe didn't have the greatest professional career of all those guys. But man, when he was there, I think I would put his contribution, which you've just kind of walked through, you know, his. his contribution statistically and as a leader on the program. I would put that up against any other player, especially any other defensive player we've had come through the program.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Rob Morris is the other third of the guys that I've watched. I mean, those three guys, Morris, Vanoy, and Mirbrick, I think that's who, if Fred Warner or any of these other guys want to be, those are the three that you're going up against, right? And Morris, interestingly enough, Mirbrick and Morris were on the same 1993 team. Morris played a little bit of a role on that 96 team, right? Played some, mm-hmm. if memory serves me right. So Matt, that's our history lesson for today. Shea Mirbrick was awesome. And Matt...
And if my wife had a little bit of a more of appreciation for the history of BYU football, I might have a child named Shea. But we didn't quite get there.
Had three boys, so maybe if you had four boys, maybe you'd have Shea. Maybe you would have gotten there. Well, Matt, that's been a show. That's a show. Like 15 tweet bag questions in here. Yeah, the tweet bag was full. A bunch of people climbed on in there.
It just proves there's plenty of room. Climb on in.
Plenty of room in the tweet bag. Well, Matt, we will be back next week. We are going to preview Utah and Utah State. And we're also going to talk about next week the state of independence. Matt, we're going to talk about where we're at with independence. And we're going to talk about why, how that's important for us and what's going on with independence. So anyway. That's what I got.
Well, there you go.
Anything else you got?
No, buddy? That's it. I'm out.
Go see Spider-Man, dude. Go see it.
Yeah, I'll have to get on that.
Yeah, take your son. Go do a little boys outing. Go watch a little Spider-Man. And then rent the Planet of the Apes movies. Not the old ones with Charlton Heston, though those are somewhat entertaining. And definitely not the one with Mark Wahlberg where he kisses a monkey. Don't do that one.
Now I'm just intrigued.
The new ones are quite amazing, and I will be. Did I mention this already? I'm going to watch both of them this week, and then go to the third one because
it seems a little over the top.
It's not over the top. You're over the top.
Well, listen, I'm probably going to go watch some 1996 BYU football highlights right now. So who am I to talk?
Yeah, if you're over the top, Matt, that means you've got to turn your hat
cap around
backwards. So if you've listened,
so if you made it to the end of this podcast, use hashtag over the top.
Yeah, yeah, and especially if you can reference what the heck we're talking about.
You know what that is a reference to? I mean, I don't know what you get. Other than the public shame of having to admit that you know where that's from, but I'd be interested to know if anybody gets that.
Public shame.
Don't say you're going to give it away. Don't.
It's a classic.
No, you're giving it away.
Okay,
you're giving it away.
I won't give it away. All right. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Check us out and subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done that already, and get this podcast delivered to your favorite device every single time we record an episode. Thanks again for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.